IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
They're coming, like it or not. Some 700,000 drones, who knows, maybe a million, will be humming along in the skies in a few years. How to make sure they operate in a safe manner is the concern of my next guest. He's been leading the effort at NASA to engineer a whole new air traffic management approach. Parimal Kopardekar is Senior Technologist for Air Transportation Systems at the Ames Research Center and a finalist in this year's Service to America Medals program, and he joins me now. PK, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom. This is great to have.
Tell us, first of all, about the program. How close are we to a good system for handling all these drones?
We have been working very closely with FAA and many industry partners to safely enable large-scale, small unmanned aircraft system operations in the airspace. And in fact, typically when we have a programs like that, we transition technology towards the end. But in this case, we are transitioning as things are ready. And FAA is already instituting something called low altitude authorization and notification capability, which is based on the unmanned aircraft system traffic management principles that we started working together. So we see the evolution of enabling these operations continuing to a mature state of beyond visual line of sight and such. But right now we see that there is already early incarnation of this unmanned aircraft system traffic management, or UTM, already being implemented by our close federal partner, FAA.
And what are some of the elements of that system?
So if you look at the current manned aviation, every change that happens to aircraft, whether it's change in the altitude, speed, or direction, has to be approved by air traffic controller, and air traffic control system keeps track of that. And the reason for that is the fundamentally only air traffic control system and the controller who's watching the radar scope has full awareness of what else is out there in the sky, so they can keep them separated from each other. And they communicate via voice with the pilot. In the case of drones or unmanned aircraft systems, there is no pilot on board. There could be remote pilot, or it could be fully autonomous. In which case, given that it's 700,000 vehicles that will be available and they will operate multiple times a day, we feel that overloading their traffic control system is not going to allow us to get to those level of scale or operations. So fundamentally, we changed the paradigm in the way these operations will be supported. So what we do is every operator, when they plan an area of operation, so for example, if you're doing search and rescue, you have a plan area of operation, or if you're doing a delivery, you have a straight line trajectory. They share the information about their operation with each other. So they connect into the something called UTM portal, and then they can share the information with each other. People who are also wanting to operate in the same vicinity will have access to what else is going on in the airspace, so they can stay away from each other. So fundamentally, it is managed by exception. So we have a bunch of alerts and such so that you can keep track of your operation and maintain that you are where you said you're going to be. You don't encroach into someone else's area and such. But nonetheless, this all happens through data exchanges that we define. So it's like share and care kind of environment where we are able to understand what's in the airspace, what the constraints are, and FAA can actually institute any constraints for safety or security reasons. They have awareness of all the operations in the airspace if they want to, and they still maintain the regulatory authority, but they're not actively controlling each and every action for the drones. They tell the constraints, and operators stay away from the constraints.
We're speaking with Parimal Kopardekar, Senior Technologist for Air Transportation at the Ames Research Center at NASA. And how did you get interested in all this area of aviation? Because that's been a lifelong pursuit, I understand.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So in 1993, when I was looking for a PhD dissertation topic, I stumbled upon air traffic management. I went to a talk by one of the FAA researchers, and I world really excited about that topic. There were 76,000 pieces of equipment, 15,000 controllers, 50,000 operations, and, you know, so many complexities of humans and machines. So I felt really drawn to that topic for my dissertation. So I worked on air traffic controllers workload and speech and such for my dissertation. After that, I continued on that path. So I worked for FAA contractor for the first 10 years of my career at the FAA Technical Center. Then FAA hired me and they sent me to NASA through a technology transition program. And then I switched to NASA in 2004. And I'm still continuing the path on improving the capacity and reducing delays of the current manned aviation. But then 5 years ago, I started to look at what else could happen in the airspace. Who are the new entrants and what do we need to do to enable these new entrants, such as drones, small drones, bigger drones, commercial space operations, balloons and such. So I got drawn into this whole notion of enabling these small US or drone operations. And that's how we started to cultivate the project.
Now, the program that you lead to develop this new air traffic management system, that's grown quite a bit, too. What's involved? How many people do you have and what kinds of technologies support it?
So we started off with a very basic idea. Originally, we just wanted to do a feasibility study. Or I wanted to do just a simple study. I have been talking to industry members. I knew that it was important to get industry involved because they are the ones who had the use cases. They were developing the drones. So we started talking to Google, Amazon, AirWare, and later on AirMap and Skyward and GE, Intel, Boeing, many, many other, and I'm forgetting many companies, but we started to do basically collaboration. And then we realized that we really need to do a more inclusive understanding of their needs. So we did a workshop, and this was early 2014. And at the time there was 160 people. Then we said, okay, we continue on the path. We relayed this core concept of unmanned aircraft system traffic management, got the feedback. We continued on the path, and we divided up into four segments. First one was just the concept, the architecture, the roles, the responsibility. One of the fundamental changes here is the involvement of the third-party operators to support services. So not all burden is on the FAA or air navigation service providers to supply all the services such as communication, navigation, flight conformance monitoring, and such. So these services can be provided by third parties. So we have a role for FAA, role for operators, and role for third-party services. So after the first leg or the first technical capability level, we call, when we showed these services, we showed the model of the roles, responsibilities, the basic data exchanges, then we went to beyond visual line of sight. And part of the beyond visual line of sight is you need to make sure that you are where you said you're going to be, so that you don't encroach on anybody else's operation. So monitoring, alerting, those things become very crucial. And then so we finished that with all FAA test sites. And then the third technical capability level is vehicle-to-vehicle interaction, heterogeneous operations, manned and unmanned, operating in the same airspace, which we very recently finished. And the fourth one we are now planning for, it's focused on urban operations where contingencies such as lack of GPS and such become very interesting because the drones have to operate without GPS in certain conditions, in presence of other drones as well as the manned aircraft and such. So we are now planning for that capability level. But fundamentally, given the magnitude of this problem, we divided up in four capability levels and went from crawl, walk, run.
Sounds like a lot of people involved.
Yeah, so we had over 200 collaborators, but not everybody participates in flight tests. Some of them participate in our working groups, which are communication, navigation, data exchanges, concepts, and such. And then some of them participate in the flight test. Some of them provide the airspace services. So we typically, on a flight test, we have about 15 to 20 collaborators that participate in different flight tests. And each work group has probably 20 to 30 industry members, in addition to our federal partners, FAA, DOD, DHS, which we're working very closely.
And a final question, do you fly a drone as sort of a hobby yourself?
Oh, yeah. We have a drone, my son and I, you know. We have broken it a couple of times. But, we enjoy that.
All right. Paramal Kopardekar is Senior Technologist for Air Transportation Systems at the Ames Research Center of NASA and a finalist in this year's Service to America Medals program. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.